You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hey everybody, I'm Maggie Dawn. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep hope alive, keep the faith. I've got a guest today that's going to give us all a little bit of hope. Before I get to her, let me again give a big, big thanks to one of the self-styled Hellcats. These are women who served in the military who are running for Congress in 2026. Rebecca Bennett, running for New Jersey's 7th Congressional District. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for spending time with us in this week's installment of Broad Appeal. You can find that segment every Wednesday at 4:30. Got to take care of a bit more breaking news before we bring on our very, very special next guest. First of all, apparently the October inflation and jobs number aren't just bad, they're horrifyingly bad. Apparently inflation is now at 10%. We lost 100,000 jobs last month. That is in stark comparison to what had been consistent month over month job additions last year at this time and decreasing inflation. Also wanted to have you take a wee bit of a listen to what one of the congressional Republicans on the House side who did not sign the discharge petition had to say about good old Attorney General Bondi. She might have some answering of some questions to do related to these Epstein files. Take a listen to GOP Rep. Warren Davidson just within the last hour and a half or so.
Look, I think the Oversight Committee, I'm going to vote for it if it comes up because
you'll vote for the bill.
Yeah, because look, I think the Oversight Committee has pushed out a lot of disclosures. The administration's done a lot. If you look in the UK, they've tried to do something towards Prince Andrew. But one of the things that went away during the shutdown is Pam Bondi was supposed to come to the House and answer these questions. And look, I'm not on the Judiciary Committee, but I did want Pam Bondi to come and do some explaining.
I should say, sir, watch this space. It continues to be an absolutely rollicking news day. And we didn't know that all of this would be happening today when we booked my next guest. Her name is Jessica Denson. She was a former Trump campaign employee. She eventually accused her boss of harassment and then found herself on the cold side of the MAGA movement. We're going to talk to her about her evolution and what it means to be on the inside of MAGA, and then very much on the outside of MAGA, what her journey has been and what she's learned from it. But the through line here, folks, is about accountability. And is it possible for people to register objections or raise questions about Donald Trump and the MAGA movement, its policy objectives and priorities, without being declared a traitor and facing God knows what kind of follow-up harassment and backlash? So please join me in providing a very warm welcome to Jessica Denson. She is also the host and executive producer of Lights On. You can find it at the links that we will be providing in our show notes from today. Jessica, welcome. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. Your story is a fascinating one. Let's start at the beginning. What got you into the Trump MAGA movement? What attracted you? And when did the, if it was a light switch that went on or a slow evolution that's led you to where you are today? Share your story with us.
Sure, Maggie. Well, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
And I said to you, "Oh, you're gonna, we're gonna go back today." Okay, we're gonna go
origin, origin story. Yes,
yes, because I mean, today I am leading protests, planning a massive event that I'm sure we're gonna talk about. Founded the Removal Coalition a few months ago, but way back in 2016, and really for the, I would say, 8 years preceding it, I was pulled deeper and deeper down the Fox News rabbit hole. Kind of, you know, with a lot of family influence that was very heavy into this. I am a real Christian. I am a lover of freedom and real patriotism. And I was mesmerized and hypnotized by their pretense of those things, which I now understand to be, frankly, the Antichrist. But it's a very hypnotic kind of reeling in that makes you feel like you're part of this kind of rebel crowd that other people just don't get. it feels loving. It feels like the other party, the Democrats, the opposition are evil, anti-American, anti-Christian people who want to burn this country down. And I had been someone who was always aware of politics. I mean, I grew up in the DC suburbs. I went to George Washington University, you know, graduated at the top of my class in interviewing politicians and all kinds of things as a journalism student. I was very close to it, but I had never any desire whatsoever to get into politics. I'm actually an actress. I was working in film and TV back in 2016. It's what I had done since I got out of college. And because of my, you know, being sucked into that Fox News vacuum, I felt like we were at an existential crisis then. If we had had Hillary Clinton elected, I felt like we were going to lose our democracy and lose it all. Mm-hmm. And that degree of up is down brainwashing ultimately convinced me that I needed to go and help Donald Trump's campaign. And as an outsider, I mean, I knew the guy had issues, but I did not scrutinize them. I mean, I go back and I see certain things like the Central Park Five, I did not even know the existence of. You know, I tell myself, if I had even known the existence of the Central Park Five and what he did to those men, I could have never supported him. But I was ignorant in a lot of ways. I did not do my research. I saw what I thought was an existential threat from the other side. And I thought, I got to help this guy get elected to save this country. So that was ultimately what brought me to work for the Trump campaign in 2016.
It's quite a story, and I think one that has some familiar themes and signposts, right? Mm-hmm. Fox News, like when you read about Roger Ailes's idea for it, and even the set decoration and the clear desks, and it looks like a casino, and there's, you know, you have the Chiron running, and it is literally meant to be hypnotic, right? Like, that is the visual design. They've studied this. So it's so interesting to hear someone as smart, you're a brilliant woman, right, with many skills, to see that. What started the awakening for you, and specifically, what was your experience working in the Trump campaign that eventually led you to free not only yourself, but 422 other campaign staffers from these oppressive, and I would argue, illegal non-disclosure agreements?
Yeah, well, what I experienced on that campaign was a shock to me, not a shock to outsiders that understand what a horror show this whole Trump world is. But it was a shock to me going in this with such, you know, rose-colored glasses, thinking that I was working with people who were true believers like I was, just to want to make the country a better place. And I ultimately found out that this was an environment where those who had the best intentions, those who had ethics, those who were above board would get sabotaged and destroyed. And I was hired by a man I haven't spoken of in years, named Camilo Sandoval, that has a whole nother history in Trump 1.0 that you can go look up, and hired into a very low level position where I was like his object of control. He had me right where he wanted me. And about 2 weeks in, I got promoted by, of all people, Steve Bannon, to be the Hispanic engagement director for the campaign. And I started getting a lot of access. I started getting, you know, very high up in the campaign very quickly, as anybody who has ever worked in probably a lot of workspaces knows, that can, the kind of attention that can draw, and jealousy and envy. And this individual, Sandoval, and some others conspired to bring me down. And wild, wild lies were told about me. I was accused of federal crimes. I was accused of leaking Trump's taxes. I was banned from having access to Trump by the Secret Service and put on their watch list for the rest of the campaign. I was banned from Trump Tower, all just like, you know, you describe my case, and many people do, as a harassment case. It wasn't a typical sexual harassment case. It was insidious, misogynist discrimination based on hatred of a woman's ascendancy in the workplace and severe defamation. So yeah,
it's basically gender. They use your gender as sort of the foil, but it is psychological warfare that it's designed to make you think you're crazy, but most importantly, give up and go the hell away. And while you're going away, shut the hell up.
Shut up. Shut up. Yeah. So I had gone into this campaign as foolish as I was, thinking that I was going to make this a more welcoming place for people with diverse backgrounds, you know, change the perspective of how the media looked at the Trump campaign, because I have a Hispanic background. I knew a lot of people, you know, of Dominican and Puerto Rican background at the time that were Trump supporters. And I was trying to uplift them, you know, trying to make this a welcoming place, bring people out of the shadows. End up walking away from this campaign under a huge shadow, not knowing, like, my life in tatters, not knowing what to do with myself after this experience. Lived with it in the darkness for about a year, and very, very reluctantly, very much against what I wanted to do, realized 1 year later, as my legal rights were about to expire, that I had to sue this campaign. If I was ever going to stand up for justice, human rights, you know, animal welfare, anything that I cared about in this world, I had to take a stand against this injustice that I had experienced on that campaign. And so I first, in 2017, with no lawyer, no money, no anything, sued them pro se. That prompted a $1.5 million arbitration demand from them based on an illegal NDA. And I literally spent the next 5 to 6 years of my life in court in a divinely beautiful journey that led me to invalidate not only my NDA, but every single NDA that was signed by a Trump campaign staffer in 2016. And I was one of the first people. I was speaking out in early 2018, very publicly. The media never mainstreamed my story, but I realized that this threat was very real very early on. And I was crying from the rooftops all those years ago that I was the canary in the coal mine of political persecution of his enemies, and for people to please wake up and take stock of the threat that he posed.
Yeah, it's what indeed a canary in the coal mine your story was. And I just want to remark on this. Folks, if you're just joining us, we have got with us a really special guest. Her name is Jessica Denson. She began work with the 2016 Trump campaign. She ended up being subjected to an incredible campaign of psychological warfare and harassment, eventually filed suit, and eventually won a judgment that released herself and 422 other Trump staffers from their restrictive and illegal NDAs. Two things about what you were saying, Jessica, that stand out to me. And one is, you came into this, into your work for the campaign, not just a true believer, but someone that thought they were joining other people of high integrity and courage to stand up for what I consider to be baseline American values, right? To do good things, to demonstrate what true patriotism is. And again, all of that in good faith. And one of the things that I have found in my own professional life, and certainly talking with people who have had experience in political campaigns and with elected officials, is that once the rot sets in, once competency is shooed away as the criteria for ascendancy and sycophancy, and frankly, a lack of integrity is substituted for that, in other words, a willingness to do anything to win, and sycophancy, personal loyalty, that just cascades out in a never-ending decimation of people like yourself that want the best and come there in good faith with a lot of integrity to try to get it done.
Please join us in Washington, D.C. on November 22nd and go to removetheregime.com. Oh, we're coming back.
You're going to be back.
Good.
Don't worry, Jessica. We'll get it all in. Don't go anywhere, folks.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We have a MAGAverse refugee joining us for this half hour. Her name is Jessica Denson. She's a former Trump campaign employee who eventually left the campaign and sued the campaign for harassment. In doing so, she had to challenge a non-disclosure agreement, an illegal one. And as a result of her efforts on her own, without a lawyer, hats off to you for the pro se litigation, Jessica, she eventually freed not only herself, but 422 other Trump campaign staffers from their illegal, oppressive, and anti-free speech NDAs. I always thought it was really weird that there was the strain of the MAGA movement that was all the terrible censorship. Meanwhile, there are just NDAs littering in Trump's wake everywhere you look. It's kind of strange. Jessica, thank you for sticking around with us. First of all, I want to make clear, folks, she is now the host and executive producer of Lights On. You talk about threats to democracy, disinformation, government accountability. You also are the organizer and founder of another protest that's coming up at the end of November, November 22nd, called Remove the Regime. Tell us about that and where people can get involved.
Thank you, Maggie. As I was telling you off air, I was a little bit, I didn't know if our segment was ending. I wanted to make sure we got that in. So my apologies for plugging it before the last clip. But this is an extremely, extremely important event. I, as you mentioned a few months ago, founded the Removal Coalition because I have been on the ground organizing and speaking at protests since early January. We actually had our first, it was called 14th Now, based on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, because we're dealing with an illegal administration every single day that Donald Trump is in office. He should not be there, according to our Constitution. And I've been on the streets since then and was kind of frustrated by the lack of a explicit demand in these protests. It's wonderful. Mm. It's amazing to see millions of people fled the streets, but it felt like such a, and I don't take this wrong, it's a beautiful thing, but in a sense, a wasted opportunity of all of that energy, all of that exhibition of our free speech rights, our power, our agency. Let us tie that to an explicit demand. And so with that in mind, I formed the Removal Coalition a few months ago to amplify this need in the protest space. And my fellow organizers, one of whom is Cliff Cash, comedian activist who I've been working with since January, dreamed up this event, Remove the Regime, which is a one location mandate, DC only. We have to descend on our nation's capital peacefully, like we see other nations do when they are under threat by authoritarian leaders. We have to descend in one place peacefully, and we have to have a clear demand. And so we are going to do that in incredible numbers. We've got the Dropkick Murphys. We've got all kinds of big time creators, artists, comedians, pastors, an incredible coalition, 100% grassroots. We have no major organization backing us. This is 100% grassroots effort coming together on the 20th to the 22nd. The 20th, we're going to do record-breaking lobbying of Congress for impeachment and removal. We're very clear here. There is a constitutional way out of this. We have to start naming it, and we have to stop letting our congressional representatives get off the hook for not employing what is their constitutional duty to do when faced with an illegal president like this. So starting on the 20th, veterans rally on the 21st, and then a bang out massive rally on the 22nd, where we will descend, as I mentioned, peacefully, converge on the nation's capital, and demand Trump's removal from office.
Her name's Jessica Denson. She rose very quickly up the ranks in Trump's 2016 campaign, eventually becoming the director of Hispanic outreach and engagement, and then was subjected to what is a mind-boggling amount of harassment, eventually leaving the campaign. And once she left, once she decided to file a lawsuit against the Trump campaign, they basically wanted to destroy you. You faced a $1.5 million counterclaim. They froze all of your assets. You were nearly forced into bankruptcy. Your mom was deposed about your religious beliefs. This is stuff out of like Hollywood movies that you think could not possibly happen here. It happened to her. She survived it. I want you to take, we've got a bit over 2 minutes left, Jessica. I have a number of folks from all across the political spectrum that listen to this, folks, and I've got a number of very loyal listeners that are Trump supporters that I argue with all the time about a huge variety of things. But Jessica, I want you to talk to the MAGA voter, to the Trump supporter now, who thinks this is all liberal claptrap. It's not. This is an existential moment for our country. Speak to them. What can they learn from your experience? You are a true believer, and now you're advocating for his removal from office through impeachment. Talk to them. Tell them why they need to open their eyes.
what I would say is this entire resistance movement out here is not against you. This movement is actually for you. And me in particular, and many of us are just trying to give you the benefit of our very hard-learned lessons so that we can spare you the pain that we had to endure. There will come a time, and I say this many times, Maggie, for anybody in Trump's inner circle or in his support. This man has no loyalty to anyone but himself, not to God, which is, by the way, the first commandment for any Judeo-Christian follower. Okay, this man has only allegiance to himself. There will come a time when his interests, his priorities will override yours. And God, I don't want to know what happens to your life, your family, your bank account, your well-being, your future when that moment comes. We're trying to wake you up, and let's come together, have some self-respect and dignity, and join the real movement for freedom and democracy.
Remove the Regime, starting on November 20th in Washington, D.C. She is Jessica Denson, a MAGA refugee who is now bringing the light to all of us. The warning bells are flashing and ringing. Pay attention. Check out her work on Lights On as well. Thank you, Jessica. When we come back, I talk about the tariff terrors. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got half an hour of the show left together. You want to join in on our conversation? You got some thoughts about what is a mind-blowing news day? Give me a jangle or text me, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I've been wanting to talk about Donald Trump's tariff terror and this insane case that is before the Supreme Court, and we're going to get there. But the news today, folks, it just will not stop. So not only do we have the discharge petition that is moving forward about releasing the Epstein files, and by the way, it is now a virtual certainty. In fact, I can think of no set of facts under which this will not happen, that there will be a full House of Republican vote in the probably the first week of December about whether or not to release the Epstein files. Republicans, MAGAs, are defecting en masse on this issue away from Donald Trump today as we are speaking. Some reports putting the number at 100 or more of Republicans that will ultimately vote for, in other words, pro-release the Epstein files once that final full House vote occurs. Magical thinking jackhole Mike Johnson, there's basically nothing he can do to stop this. It is happening whether they like it or not. Meanwhile, of course, we remain in the shutdown, right? Not open yet, folks. And that means that the continuing resolution to fund the government is now, it has passed out of the Senate, and it is now in the House. But I'm sure you've all heard about this little sneaky provision that they stuck into the continuing resolution that will basically enable all of these elected officials who basically participated in the conspiracy related to January 6th to overturn the 2020 elections. You know, all the fake electors, all these people that Donald Trump just pardoned. Yes, well, the DOJ legitimately looked at their phone records. Well, they snuck a provision into the continuing resolution that basically gives each one of those people who was very legitimately investigated the right to get $500,000. It's basically like betray your country, violate your oath, trash the Constitution, and here's $500,000. Yeah, it's in there. Anyways, two Republicans in the House are saying they will not vote for the continuing resolution. They will, in fact, vote no on the continuing resolution. Remember, the margin in the House is razor thin. The two Republican MAGA supporters on the House side that are going to vote no on the CR as of this moment right now are Representative William Stoib, or Stuby, excuse me, that is how it's pronounced. He is a Republican from Florida, as well as Representative Massey. There is no room for error, folks. Wow. Representative Stubbe saying this, he ain't voting on something to give Senator Lindsey Graham $500,000. Can't blame you there, Representative. No kidding. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jack from Merrimack, what you got for us?
Well, Ms. Denson was very, very articulate. I want to remind people of, again, Hannah Arendt's statements describing her fall into the vacuum of Fox News, the first of which is that the purpose of all these continuous lies, and by the way, it wasn't just Fox News, but every single major news source allowed these MAGAs to get on and repeat and repeat and repeat the same lies continuously. So it's not just Fox News. But the purpose of this is so that nobody believes anything anymore. And the other statement is that the ideal subject of an authoritarian rule, whether it's a fascist or communist, the ideal subject is somebody that doesn't know truth from fiction and lies from falsehood anymore. And what they're going to do, what people like that do, is they listen to the loudest voice. And that's one reason why we have the problem we have now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The information sewer problem is a real thing, Jack. I continue to be mystified by journalists who interview MAGAs and who, I mean, Caitlin Collins has been doing, I think, a better job. So has Jake Tapper. But specifically, like, that's not true. I don't know why you put on the air these people who just constantly lie over and over and over again. Repetition does make people believe stuff. Fox News, its entire set design, its manner of communicating is designed as almost a version of mind control. And I thought, you know, and folks, what the person that Jack's talking about is Jessica Denson. She was my guest in the prior half hour. She fully owned, like, I didn't do any of my own research. I didn't look into it. I just believed it, you know, took it on faith. And here we are, right? I mean, it's such a dangerous time. Folks, if you missed Jessica's interview, she is a refugee from the MAGAverse, true believer turned supporter of Donald Trump's removal from office via impeachment. Check out our interview. You can always find our past interviews and the entire show catalog at civicmedia.us/shows. Also on Spotify and Apple Pods. Mark from Sussex is having himself a real field day by completely dodging the actual point of my discussion with Jessica Denson. He's like, what, you don't want to talk about the shutdown anymore? I just did talk about the shutdown. Do I think Dems caved and it was a stupid idea? Yes, I do. But because the shutdown is over, now we're talking about the Epstein files. See, Mark? Because the shutdown is over, Johnson had to swear in Adelita Grijalva. Because he had to swear in Adelita Grijalva, she was the 28th signature on the discharge petition, which is going to lead to a full House vote on whether or not to release the Epstein files. And yes, I'm talking about the shutdown because the CR is now before the House and formerly MAGA loyalist congresspersons on the House side are now saying, I'm not going to sign on to something that effectively rewards treasonous members of Congress and senators for their treasonous behavior at the cost of $500,000 a pop that taxpayers will pay. So again, yeah. And Mark from Sussex, if you want to know all about Ms. Denson, why don't you do your own homework and Google her and look up some of the media coverage? We will post the article from 19th News about her campaign of harassment. Go watch her show. You can find out all your questions. I don't need to do all your homework for you. And point of fact, Mark, I don't know how long she worked on the campaign. She obviously worked there for quite some time because she went from a low-level staffer to being the director of Hispanic engagement and outreach for the entire Trump 2016 campaign. So yeah, an insider. Jeannie from Eau Claire, what do you got for us? Go ahead, Jeannie.
Boy, you never fail to amaze me with all the great guests that you have on and great topics. And we need to include Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. I think his name was on the receiving end of maybe some of that money. Boy, we got folks.
Jeannie, let me just say this. Ron Johnson did come out today publicly and said that he would not use the provision to try to get himself $500,000. Considering that Ron Johnson's like net worth is somewhere north of like $40 million, yeah, that's the least we can expect from him. But I'll also say the fact that Rojo told us he was only going to run for two terms and never run again, and he lied about that. I don't really give his word much credit at all. Sorry to interrupt, Jeannie. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. That's great. It's good to know. But the point is I could see him still accepting it. I can't trust a word that comes. All he did is lie his whole time. Anyway, this is so outstanding. You can find that lovely woman on YouTube. Just, you know, search her name, and she does an outstanding job. So thanks a lot. And this is just so disgusting, though. It's about god darn time this god darn skanky guy who has a history is getting called out for the dirty stuff he's did against young girls. So thank you very much. And I have a new thing. The GOP is guardian of predators, not only pedophiles, but predators. And look at all the people that he has, given sanction that they don't have to, they can get out of jail free cards.
No, all the pardoning. It's ridiculous, Jeannie. I love it. What's it again? The guardians of predators. Guardians of predators. Yes,
yep.
That sounds about right. Thank you, Jeannie from Eau Claire. Let me talk about this tariff case a little bit. And first of all, let me start here. This is based on the latest AP poll. Okay. Donald Trump's numbers are as bad as they have ever been. They're historically terrible. The percentage of adults who approve of Donald Trump's management of the federal government overall is now at its lowest ever, 33%. That's down from 43% in March. Even amongst Republicans, his base, it was 81% approval back in March. It's now at 68%. And independents here, folks, they went from 38% approval to a disastrous 25% approval rate. Now we've got the Trump administration trying to bury the actual economic news. They're refusing to put out the inflation numbers and the job loss numbers for October. But of course, that's somehow Democrats' fault. It's weird, even though Donald Trump already fired the head of the Bureau of Labor Statistics and installed a lackey and its data based on surveys using methods that have existed for decades under both Republican and Democratic presidents. The BLS is supposed to be an apolitical organization just reporting data. But here's Caroline Leavitt in front of the White House press corps lying about it. Take a listen.
The Democrats may have permanently damaged the federal statistical system with October CPI and jobs reports likely never being released. And all of that economic data released will be permanently impaired, leaving our policymakers at the Fed flying blind at a critical period.
So let's get this straight, Caroline. You and the Trump administration, who can fix anything, it's now the Democrat. What did they break into the BLS offices last night and smash the computers? What are you talking about? And of course, just ask yourself this question. All of a sudden, it's a problem. It wasn't a problem during Donald Trump's first administration, was it? Wasn't a problem during George W. Bush's administration, was it? But now it's a problem. And furthermore, ask yourself this question. If you had done the stupidest economic policy in modern American history, which are tariffs that conservative economists, liberal, all economists basically know, well, that's going to be inflationary and not good. And the actual economic numbers were showing that you are hurting the middle class, that inflation is increasing and increasing at a faster rate, and that hundreds of thousands of people are losing jobs, you'd probably go, oh, well, the data's bad. Don't pay any attention to that. The data's bad. It's those dastardly Democrats. Of course you would, because you can't take any responsibility for anything that happens that you don't like. Well, that's Joe Biden's fault and the Democrats, and anything that does go well or that you do like, that you take credit for. Except here's the thing, Mr. President, that's not how the economy works. It's really not. Interestingly enough, the Supreme Court may end up saving Donald Trump from himself. I discussed the tariff case, currently pending, waiting decision awaiting decision before the Supreme Court of the United States when we come back. Stay tuned. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is the last segment of the day. Get in your questions and comments now, 855-752-4842. Well, as Donald Trump continues to tank the U.S. economy, and by the way, if you've heard him make these claims or other talking heads, the Confederacy of Dunces and Liars that gets trotted out across national media virtually every day to lie to the American people nonstop. If you've heard the spin about, oh, well, the stock market's doing well. Doing well as compared to what is always the question. And if you look at the stock performance through November 7th, 2025, so last week, starting January 19th, 2025, of the entire return on the U.S. stock market, we are literally fourth to last when compared to basically every other Western country, Western democratic country, fourth to last. So again, as compared to what should always be the point. Back in 2024, the economy added 2.2 million jobs, an average monthly gain of 186,000. We've been losing an average of 11,000 jobs per week in October. CPI, inflation reported to be at around 10%. Consumer sentiment, current conditions, it's the worst ever. Worst consumer sentiment since 1951. So I want to take two sounds. First, Jacob, let's take cut four. This is Donald Trump talking about the billions in tariff revenues that he's going to be raising. Listen to this.
And yet our country's taking in tens of billions of dollars.
If I didn't have tariffs, we would right now, the entire world would be in a depression. Because, you know, that wasn't a threat against us. That was a threat against the entire world. I did this for the world.
And trillions of dollars, actually, trillions of dollars in tariffs.
We're taking in trillions of dollars from tariffs. And they've been so incredible for our country.
Okay. Trillions. No, we haven't. Not even close to $1 trillion. Donald Trump's promising to give everybody $2,000 a person. There's not anywhere near enough tariff revenue to do that. I mean, like, rough math would be around $660 billion. We don't have anywhere near that, so that's a lie, too. But remember, it's been about the revenue, all about the revenue. We're going to make all this money, right? All this money. Well, guess what, folks? If it's always been about the revenue, then it's a tax. And if it's a tax, guess who can't do it unilaterally? The president. You know, remember that whole Tea Party thing? The Boston one? It's because no taxation without representation. We don't let a king or a president just unilaterally impose taxes. You got to have a legislature that's elected by the people decide to do that. That's what this Supreme Court case is about. And so Eric Sauer, who argued this case on behalf of the Trump administration, had to go into court and say, the whole point here is that it's not about the revenue. It's not the point. This is about foreign policy. Because the Constitution gives the president a huge, huge amount of control over foreign policy. So he had to basically say over and over and over again, it's not about the revenue, baby. Even though that's exactly contrary to what Donald Trump himself has claimed. Take a listen to this. This is Trump's lawyer on the tariff case telling us over and over and over again, it's not about the revenue. Listen.
These are regulatory tariffs. They are not revenue-raising tariffs. The fact that they raise revenue is only incidental. The tariffs would be most effective, so to speak, if no person ever paid them. There certainly is an incidental and collateral effect of the tariffs that they do raise revenue, but it's very important that they are regulatory tariffs, not revenue-raising tariffs. As the notion that this is a revenue-raising tactic or power, it is not. We are asserting a regulatory power.
Oh! Again, Donald Trump's tweet just a couple days ago, Truth Social post. We're taking in trillions of dollars from the tariffs. Except that would make it illegal. Oops-a-daisy. Kind of insane. My guess is that the Supreme Court strikes down the tariffs, in which case, what are we going to do with the few hundred billion dollars that we've already raised? What kind of terrible economic tsunami will happen then? Which will be short-term because the removal of the tariffs will actually make the economy better, so the Supreme Court may end up saving Trump from himself. His taco tariff terror. Charles from Milwaukee, we got a minute left, sir. You get the last shot at it today. What you got for us?
That's okay, Maggie. The lies just never stop coming. The lies. The more he lies, the more his followers really believe it. You know, I'm still waiting on my $5,000 Doge check from all of the money that they claim that they received from the fraud. When will these Kool-Aid drinkers wake up? And I believe this whole $2,000 thing is to have people mad at the Supreme Court. So when the Supreme Court says, no, you can't put these tariffs out there, then he can say, well, I was going to give you guys $2,000, but the Supreme Court stopped. So now we got to pay all this money back to these countries that we got tariffs from.
Blame anybody but who's actually responsible for all the pain. Charles, you're right on the money with that, my friend. Always good to hear from you. And anybody see the 50-year mortgage thing, which will just end up costing people way more money? He also wants to go to 15-year auto loans. To whose benefit? Guess what? Not yours. Just saying. And yes, Mark from Sussex, we've raised about $300 billion in tariffs. Yep. But it's not about the revenue, baby. Just Donald Trump's top lawyer. Anywho, we're going to leave it there for today. I'll be back tomorrow, folks. You got Pete Schwabba and Nightlight coming up next to help you relax on this hump day afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn. You've been listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.